Understanding the influence of loneliness on HIV risk behaviors among a sample of young MSM, a grounded theory approach.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Randy Hubach. I'm from the Center for Sexual Health Promotion at Indiana University. This presentation, I worked with my collaborators, Anthony DiStefano and Michelle Wood from California State University, Fullerton. So when we look at, I know I have no disclosures. Grad students don't make any money. We all know that by now. So if we look at some of the temporal trends around HIV in the U.S., especially around adolescents and young adults, we know that young MSM are really this priority population we've been looking at, with HIV incidence rates in young MSM being about 10 times higher compared to older MSM. And when we look historically at the current literature of cohort studies, prevalence in these samples among young MSM have ranged between 2% all the way up to about 19%. Specifically in California, where I was a practitioner at the time, about 30% of our new HIV diagnoses were occurring in emergent adults. And specifically, when we looked at it as well, the highest number of new diagnoses were in these young adults in LA and the surrounding counties, so Orange County, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, and of course LA County. So as a practitioner, when I worked many times with my clients, there was these questions that they had high rates of knowledge, they had access to condoms, they had intention to use, but there were some underlying issues that were happening as well. So we started looking at some of these psychological correlates. And when we look at the literature, especially around MSM, we know that loneliness, depression, and anxiety has been found to be a factor for MSM engaging in higher risk practices. However, when we look at young MSM, really the research has focused on depression and anxiety in its relationship to sexual risk behavior. But, you know, the one pivotal study that we have by Martin and colleagues was looking at young MSM loneliness is using the UCLA loneliness score. They had higher loneliness scores compared to their non-MSM counterparts. And the reason this is important is because we know loneliness in young MSM has been associated with a decreased likelihood to be in a stable romantic relationship. So given the fact that really there's an absence in the literature around loneliness and sexual risk behavior, especially in this population, and I would say actually in a lot of populations, we really wanted to take a more nuanced approach to really understand the mechanisms by which loneliness influences sexual risk behavior. To do so, we use grounded theory methodology to explore this relationship among young MSM emergent adults who are 18 to 29 years of age of HIV negative or unknown status in Southern California. So just some key definitions. I know we're in the HIV use section. A lot of my research focused on this emergent adults. You know, we all have these like age cutoffs. So I looked to the literature for young MSM, and if we look at a lot of the publications, we define young MSM as being 18 to 29 years of age. We were specifically looking for individuals who had at least two same-sex sexual contacts during their lifetime, and not just maybe a one-time experimentation. And we were not differentiating between young MSM who only have sex with other young MSM, but maybe young MSM who are actually having sex with older men as well. When we were looking at HIV sexual risk behavior, we were looking at unprotected anal intercourse and then multiple anal intercourse partners. We were not specifically looking at oral sex, even if the ejaculatory fluid is present. So for the study, we were using this qualitative model of inquiry through the use of in-depth interviews, sexual life narratives. The interviews were about an hour to an hour and a half each. It was an inductive approach, really, with theory generation that was really grounded in our data, and all the procedures were approved by the IRB at Cal State Fullerton. It was a two-phase study, so our first stage used purposeful sampling. We were really just trying to see what emerged from our participants. So we recruited 15 individuals, and they had to be 18 to 29 years of age, identify as a man, have at least two same-sex sexual experiences, self-report being HIV negative or unknown status, be a Southern California resident. And we were looking at this idea of self-reported history of bouts of loneliness at least once a month for the past year. We didn't ask them to define what loneliness meant to them because we didn't really want to bias what really came out at the time. The second phase of our study, once we really started to see the emergent themes come out, we used theoretical sampling and had seven participants recruited and interviewed. We found that we had data saturation about the 21st interview, so we had one interview actually extra. If we look at our participant characteristics, you'll see they kind of mimic what Southern California traditionally looks like among this population. They were predominantly white. However, we had some mix. Most individuals were single. A lot of these individuals were students, which has led to the low annual household income. They were working part-time or a full-time student, most identified as gay or homosexual. And those individuals who had a history of mental health diagnosis were actually all in treatment for the diagnosis. So going on, I really want to kind of go through some of these different themes that really emerged and give some exemplars from the data to kind of back it up. The names are all pseudonyms. So when we looked at this interplay between loneliness and HIV risk behavior, there were five themes that really started to emerge. So loneliness for young MSM is really rooted in this desire for a social connection or emotional connection. So young MSM in these lonely states really seek out and engage in sexual and even substance use of behaviors to treat their symptoms, and we'll talk about what that means. And then engaging in these type of behaviors led to relief from these loneliness symptoms. However, by engaging in these behaviors, there were consequences with the self-treatment, and ultimately these consequences from engaging in the behaviors led into the reemergence of the initial symptoms. So what did loneliness mean for our participants? So loneliness was this idea of it being a lack of sexual, emotional, or social companionship. Our participants highlighted there was two types of loneliness. We had emotional loneliness, which is this desire to utilize either a romantic or sexual partner for an emotional contact. Or we had social loneliness, which was really focusing this idea of building their larger social networks. When we look at the indications of social and emotional loneliness, so we're looking at more of this like loneliness symptomatology that's associated with it, our participants reported frequent and really persistent lonely states that range from about 2 bouts of loneliness to about 8 bouts of loneliness per month, as they defined. And these bouts lasted usually 1 to 3 days. And it was really rooted in the idea of the developing connections with other young MSM and MSM. So within social loneliness is that this idea of not wanting to feel alone anymore and that I want to be part of something larger. Whereas with emotional loneliness is that they need someone to be part of them, to holistically kind of fulfill them, to fill in the gaps that they felt about themselves and just don't really want to feel alone anymore. So the main thing we saw was this idea of relief through self-treatment, as we called it. A lot of individuals were engaging in substance use behavior, especially alcohol use and sometimes intravenous drug use. However, most individuals were engaging in sexual partner seeking. And for them, sexual partner seeking is where sex took on different meanings, such as an emotional connection, romance, and even love. And this was true for sexual encounters that were episodic or even of a longer duration. And this was really relevant when we started to ask people about explain their daily routines and their sexual lifestyles. We started to see this link emerge as well. Sexual partner seeking and the sexual act really provided participants with a mode and an opportunity to establish social and emotional connections with fellow young MSM and MSM. So this participant was said that you could only get that connection by actually engaging in sexual behavior. He was a little more frank about it. But then when we look at other participants, they started to highlight the role of the internet, especially being in this younger community. So young MSM highlighted these numerous social network sites that are dedicated to connecting MSM. While many of these sites are portrayed in connecting MSM, a lot of them were using it for sexual exploration. And this is not to say that the internet was the only primary thing these young MSM were using. They also said that the social act of even going to a bar and club, especially when you think about LA, Southern California area, where a lot of the bars and clubs allow 18 and over nights, that this had usually the underlying purpose of finding a sexual partner for the evening. Where the individuals could stop looking online just for sex, but actually see like who was out there, develop that connection. And sexual partner seeking and the sexual act was really a temporary buffer for loneliness. So no longer were they searching for that connection with another individual, because within that moment of time, they had somebody and they weren't really alone anymore. So how does this all play into HIV risk behavior? And really, is this interconnection between this desired relief around of loneliness and HIV risk. So our participants reported engaging in HIV sexual risk behaviors, specifically receptive unprotected anal intercourse and then anal intercourse with multiple partners. There was also poor safer sex negotiation with those partners, inconsistent and improper use of condoms, and this lack of condom use was really driven by a desire for a longer-term connection with a sexual partner. So individuals that we interviewed would say that a lot of times they had this high rate of knowledge around HIV transmission risk, and they'd have intent, so they'd have even condoms in their pocket. However, when they engaged in the sexual act with the partner, they thought that if they let the individual especially have sex with them, unprotected or even bareback, that it would, as the literature showed us, establish trust and intimacy, which then could lead to possibly to a longer-term relationship. So maybe that they could be friends afterwards, or start dating, become boyfriends, things of that nature. And when we look even around this lack of HIV and STD testing history discussion, individuals said when they were in a lonely place, they didn't want to scare off the prospective individual by having these discussions around either their prior testing history, their sexual partner history, or even bringing up a condom. Again, that there's this idea that sometimes the rewards of engaging in riskier behaviors, that these outcomes that could happen, were worth the risks that were associated with unprotected behavior. And what we really started to see and emerge was this iterative cycle of loneliness. So even after temporary relief from loneliness symptoms, participants kind of saw these different type of consequences that were associated with their behavior. And there was really a continued desire for either that emotional or social connections with other men. So in the first quote, you see the gentleman said that it was like a short-term relief, that just for that moment in time, he felt like he wasn't lonely anymore. However, it was like an episodic encounter, he would go right back into that loneliness stage, and it would end up engaging in sexual partner seeking again to get that desired relief. The second individual said when they were looking at HIV risk, by engaging in these high-risk sexual behaviors, especially receptive, unprotected intercourse, they started to have more of this self-image instability, thinking negatively about themselves, which fueled these loneliness symptoms again, and we saw the emergence of the cycle as well. So participants really attributed multiple meanings to loneliness and HIV risk behavior, and really the interplay between the two. And the experience of loneliness had a common thread of symptomatology that was really rooted in the desire for connection. And this connection really seems to be an important catalyst for young MSM engaging in HIV risk behaviors. And they're doing this, or reportedly doing this, really to curb the desire associated with loneliness. And when we look at the current literature out there, we see that sex is often a vehicle to express such feelings when we're lonely or when we're isolated. And our participants, when we interviewed them, said they had a high rate about HIV transmission, acquisition knowledge, had intent to use the condoms, had access to condoms, but it really adds to the growing literature that suggests that knowledge is not an effective predictor of health behaviors among this population. So our findings kind of add additional support to existing interventions, similar to like the empowerment program, that are not solely based on HIV, increasing HIV and safer sex knowledge, but instead promote safer sex behaviors as the social norm. So if we put the themes into a model format, you'll see that we have the two different forms of loneliness. It's linked to loneliness symptomatology. It's mediated by the behaviors that we use, so these are the resources that we have. It's linked to this temporary relief, but also linked to HIV risk behavior. We also see the remorse that comes into play, which leads to negative self-image, and then the emergence of the initial loneliness symptoms. It's very similar to if we think of the transactional model of stress and coping posed by Lazarus and colleagues, where we have a stressor, which in this case would be loneliness. We have our appraisals, so the needs for the relief, and it's mediated by these environmental resources we have. So in conclusion, our results really point to the value of addressing YMSM or young MSM psychological states and really in an effort to reduce HIV transmission and infection rates. Of course, there's additional empirical research that's needed to fully explore and understand what factors contribute to that initial social loneliness among these populations. But our findings really suggest the tailoring interventions that are targeting young MSM, both at the individual and group level, and interventions that have already been tested for efficacy and put in place may need to adapt to these new findings. Of course, with any study, like my colleague has said before me, we have some limitations. This is a small sample size qualitative investigation where we really were trying to just get this initial understanding theory development, so we can't really say generalizability. So the results might not be representative of the larger young MSM population. And the size of our sample really didn't allow us to see maybe the differences among subpopulations by age group and race ethnicity. And additionally, we also didn't see these themes emerge about the negative social and actually hostile context that really surrounds young MSM. And we relied on self-reported definitions and experience and behaviors by our participants. And thank you to the funders and my study team and, of course, the participants.